people are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
For more than 35 years, the California Housing Finance Agency, best known as CalHFA, has supported the needs of renters and first-time home buyers. They do this by providing financing and programs that create safe, decent, and affordable housing opportunities for low- and moderate-income Californians. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and this is the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing. Today we'll be focusing on CalHFA, which in 1975 was chartered as the state's affordable housing bank to make low interest rate loans through the sale of tax-exempt bonds. The bonds are repaid by revenues generated through mortgage loans, not taxpayer dollars, which is to say that CalHFA is an entirely self-supported state agency. Our guest today is Claudia Capio, who was recently appointed to head CalHFA by Governor Brown. Prior to this appointment, Claudia worked as a land use consultant and as the planning director for several cities, including Oakland, where you might recall Governor Brown served as mayor. In our conversation today, we'll be looking both at the programs that CalHFA runs that create rental housing and those that encourage single-family housing. We'll touch on the overall housing situation in California and the new administration's thoughts on housing policy moving forward. Welcome, Claudia.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Great. So CalHFA has historically served first-time home buyers by creating loans that really meet the needs of lower-income buyers. Can you briefly describe the programs that CalHFA has to help people purchase a home?
Sure. We have two current programs for first-time home buyers. One is a 30-year fixed-rate program that's insured by the Federal Housing Administration, and we offer low down payment. The borrower contributes 1% or $1,000, and we also require home buyer education with that. And the second product is a conventional program. We call it the Cal 30, which involves a fixed rate, fully amortizing 30-year loan. And the point of both these loans is that we take a risk. We look at the home buyer, potential home buyer, make sure that they're worthy of the credit and the chance of home ownership, and then help them when they don't have a big down payment or lots of other assets, but are a good candidate for home ownership.
How do buyers access your programs?
We have a website set up, calhfa.ca.org, .ca.gov. And we also we go around the state and work through lenders that are associated with CalHFA. So loan officers can be found on our website, and that information is also available through other realtors and lenders throughout California.
Like other lenders, I can only assume that CalHFA has faced some challenges related to foreclosure in its portfolio. Can you talk about the scope of the problem?
Well, the scope's been huge, and we have been hard hit, as many financial institutions were during the last couple of years. For us, it's been the combination of unemployment and decreasing property values. And people that are unemployed obviously are generally not able to make their mortgage payment nor able to qualify for a loan modification. So that's hit us hard. And at this point, we don't have the option of increasing property values. So it's a double whammy. It's the unemployment and the decrease in property values simultaneously. It's important that we stabilize the job market and obviously make sure that we look at then modifying through a number of programs helping California families. But it's been a very, very bad situation.
How does what has happened to CalHFA in this area compare to that of private lenders?
Well, we didn't have the subprime problem that many lenders did. The stories you hear in the media about robo-signing and you know, people who are totally unqualified to take on loans. We're very careful about making sure that the prospective home buyer was well qualified. But because we look at the strata of people in this state who don't have a lot of assets, we were hard hit, and we have been basically, we have been really hard hit by the unemployment rate in California.
Do you think overall, Claudia, that the state is hitting bottom on the foreclosure problem?
It's hard to tell since this whole situation we're in is really unprecedented. I happen to think that it's a bumpy landing, that we are not crashing further down at the bottom, but we haven't seen the big fluctuations in the past year that we've seen in prior years. But it's difficult to tell. But certainly the rate may be slowing down. But again, there won't be a big improvement until the job market recovers and home prices stabilize in the state.
That makes sense. Now, have certain parts of the state been hit harder than others?
Yes. We have found that the state overall has some geographic areas that were harder hit. Normally, we see fluctuations. There's a big state, and there's little niches of housing markets throughout the state. But we have found that those areas like Riverside, San Bernardino, Sacramento, that had a significant escalation in home prices right before the crash, were those that were hardest hit. Albeit that may or may not be meaningful. But the other piece that we have looked at is that those areas that have had stable prices, stable higher prices, have been less hard hit.
The CalHFA website that you mentioned before, calhfa.ca.gov, notes that you recently got a grant for homeowner counseling to help people stay in their homes. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we have gotten a grant through NeighborWorks, which is part of the National Foreclosure Mitigation Counseling Program. And basically, we partner with the Rural Community Assistance Corporation to pass funds through to several local certified counseling agencies that assist homeowners in either their default situation or that they're close to default. We received our first grant in 2008, and we've received approximately $19 million and so far counseled approximately 60,000 households. The second program is the Keep Your Home California program, which is part of the federal hardest hit funds. We basically have access to about $2 billion, and we've developed four programs that assist California families. First, there's an unemployment assistance program that will pay up to $3,000 a month for 6 months for people who are on unemployment. Second, there's something called the Mortgage Reinstatement Assistance Program, and that helps reinstate a homeowner that has overcome their economic hardship but needs to be reinstated successfully with their lender. And we arrange up to $15,000 of assistance per household for that. Third, there's the Principal Reduction Program, and we will pay up to $50,000 to reduce principal, but it does require that the lender or investor match dollar for dollar. While that program has tremendous potential, we've had problems with the banks participating in that program. And finally, if all else fails, we help homeowners transition with a payment of up to $5,000 so that they can move out of their house and into a rental or other arrangement.
Talk about safety nets. It appears, though, that there have been instances where CalHFA has had to foreclose on properties. Is that right?
Yes, we unfortunately have had, because we have an obligation to our bondholders. And so we do have, we've been able to assist lots of homeowners, but we've also had to foreclose on homeowners. And, you know, we obviously go through the same process that any lender goes through in doing that. And obviously try to help the homeowners as much as possible prior to that action being taken.
So in instances where you have to take over these homes, how do you sell them?
We have an active resale program called our REO unit, and we have been able to package the loans and obviously keep up the property and make sure it's properly marketed for sale. And that the list of those homes can be found on our website. But we've basically had to transition our business model to that of lender and loan originator to a large part of our activity now is the resale of those foreclosed homes.
And that website, of course, calhfa.ca.gov. So do you have programs that help first-time buyers finance buying these homes?
Yes. In some instances, we find them eligible for CalHFA financing. And again, that information is listed on our website.
I have to assume that there are folks out there who try to buy these homes as speculative investments and then flip them. And I'm sure that is not how the program is intended to function. Is CalHFA doing anything to prevent this sort of thing?
Well, we can't prevent it per se. I will say that capitalism has very creative ways of working, but we are pricing the homes at appraised values that prevent that, or either at appraised value or slightly above appraised value. So basically the gap between what a buyer may purchase the home for and how they can flip that is minimized. So we try to prevent that through the price point that we offer the home for sale.
I understand, Claudia, that the federal government's just released an RFP on ways to dispose of the FHA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac portfolios with an emphasis on ways these units might be used as rental housing. Do you see a role for CalHFA to help the feds manage this activity?
You know, we think that that is a very interesting approach, and that creative and innovative thinking is really important in this situation that we find ourselves in California and across the country. We've had internal discussions about the rent-to-purchase options, but currently believe that selling the properties at current market value is in the best interests of our bondholders, and really we have a fiduciary responsibility to those bondholders. So we're limited, but we certainly would be very interested and would participate in any discussions that a group or entity may come to us with about those kinds of ideas.
Let's move on to talking about CalFHA's multifamily programs. What types of properties do you support?
We have traditionally done a great deal of multiple family lending, but given our current financial situation where our equity has been greatly limited in the last couple of years by the financial meltdown, we're only participating in one type of program called the Mental Health Services Act funding for multiple family. And by that was part of a voter approved proposition a few years ago where there is specialized housing created for those people who are at risk of homelessness due to a mental disability. Unfortunately, all other programs have been suspended until we can competitively lend again.
And do you anticipate being able to restart that work in the future?
Oh, absolutely. We've stabilized our financial position significantly throughout the past year, and I look forward to increasing our equity and what we call liquidity so that we're able to get back in that market again.
Are there others in the private market who are providing this kind of financing?
Yes, we've looked at being a conduit source of lending. The FHA is lending, and a number of other banks and equity institutions are lending, so that we're participating in that, but we're not directly responsible for it. But there are people who've taken over, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA, for instance.
So as promised, I would like to talk about housing policy for a moment. You are the first housing appointee, Claudia, made by our new governor, so congratulations for that.
Thank you.
And tell us, if you would, a bit about the state's priorities for housing in the coming years.
Sure. I need to qualify this that I have not had extensive discussions with the governor yet, but I know what I'd like to do, and I'll just run down those priorities for you, which I hope are aligned with the governor's. First, I think it's really important to raise the dialogue about how important affordable housing is to the overall economic health and growth in California, not only in job creation, but also in job attraction and retention. Next, I think we need to try to figure out why the costs of affordable housing in this state keep increasing. And by that, I mean the amount of subsidy that's required to produce affordable housing on a unit-by-unit basis. The last comprehensive study about this was done about 17 or 18 years ago, and we're committed to doing a study again so that we're able to look at policy changes or other practices that need to be refined or changed in order to make sure that that subsidy per unit is stabilized or decreased. Third, I think the revenue sources for affordable housing, as many people know in this business, are shrinking. And bond measures have been used and will be depleted in a few years. Redevelopment funding is uncertain at best. So we need to figure out if a permanent source or a sustainable source is feasible in this state. And I'm committed to making sure that we explore that and see if it is feasible to do.
The recent budget eliminates redevelopment agencies, allows them to opt into existence by making payments to the state. Do you have a sense yet of the impact that this is going to have on local government's ability to produce affordable housing?
Yes, unfortunately, I have a really clear sense of it because as a local government planner in my past work history, I realize how important redevelopment funding was to what we call pre-development or feasibility, making sure that a nonprofit or other entity who wanted to produce the affordable housing could use redevelopment money in design and entitlement costs to get prepared for competing for the state sources of funding. So this will have a really big impact on that function.
It seems pretty clear that this adds further pressure for people working to create affordable apartments throughout the state. Does the administration have a sense of how it might create replacement sources for housing in these challenging budget times?
Well, as I mentioned, there's the whole permanent source question, and I'm committed to working that through and seeing if it's feasible and acceptable. Other than that, it's just maybe targeting funding like the MHSA or the Mental Health Services Act has been very successful in focusing on different target groups, and perhaps that may lead to other sources of funding. But the big elephant in the living room is permanent source.
Do you have a wish list, Claudia, of things that you would like to achieve in your tenure as the director of CalHFA?
Other than what I've mentioned, which, you know, you said what the state's priorities should be, I think the only other two that I'd mention is how we can work better in this state to organize ourselves. There's about five different entities that are responsible for affordable housing in one way or another in this state. So how we all can get together and either consolidate or better align or make our services and affordable housing production more efficient. And lastly, the governor is interested in the whole greenhouse gas issue, carbon footprints, sustainable communities. I think that as a financer, as the state's bank for affordable housing, we can play a big part of that and link up the jobs, housing, and transportation balance, target lending to providing incentives for better development patterns and the like. So I look forward to working on that as well.
Claudia, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today, and we wish you the very best of luck in your new role.
Thank you very much.
Claudia Capio, Executive Director of the California Housing Finance Agency, CalHFA, and you can find them on the web at calhfa.ca.gov. For Eden Housing Affordable Housing Podcast, I'm Joanne Green. For more, go to edenhousing.org.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.